guys, and welcome to episode 164 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in this episode, it is my pleasure to introduce Morgan Rondinelli and Molly Fishback to talk about their advocacy initiative, Not Alone Notes. Now, I've been aware of both these fine young ladies for a while, and Morgan, in fact, has been on the podcast before. But a little while ago, they started an initiative called Not Alone Notes. And to read from their website, because it'll be more articulate than me freestyling it, they write, "Not Alone Notes mails free handwritten letters to others with OCD to remind them they aren't alone, encourage hope, and dispense resources." So they do the artwork on these handwritten notes, and they write, obviously, the nice message inside to you, the individual. So I just thought this is a great piece of advocacy, and I want to share more like that, because I love when advocacy can get creative and people do it in their own unique way that meets their creative skill set. So it's a great initiative. I love what they've been doing. They've been working really hard at it, and it's growing. So it's great to get them on the show to talk about this. We initially go into their OCD stories, though, you know, and what helped them on their journey. We then talk about Not Alone Notes, why set it up, how many they've sent, what the future holds. We then talk about advocacy, so words for hopeful advocates who want to kind of do more in the space of OCD to reach others. And then we talk about why suffering is suffering towards the end, which is a nice message, and how it's all valid and deserving of empathy and treatment. And then some words of hope at the very end. So I hope you enjoy this. I certainly enjoyed chatting to Morgan and Molly. And without further ado, here they are. On the podcast today, I have Morgan Rondinelli and Molly Fishback to talk about their initiative, Not Alone Notes. Welcome to the show, Morgan and Molly.
Hi, thanks for having us.
It's good to have you here. And I've been impressed by what you guys have done over the last, how long has it been, 2 years?
About a year and a half, almost.
Okay. Wow, you've done a lot in that time. Yes, it's been really good to see Not Alone Notes grow and the good work you guys are doing. So it's a privilege for me to have you on.
Thank you.
So before we get into all of that, it'd be good to briefly just hear kind of your OCD or mental health stories. And obviously, Morgan, you've shared yours before, so you don't have to go into all of it if you don't want. Just kind of give a snapshot.
Yeah. So I've had OCD since I was little, but I wasn't diagnosed till I was 19 because it got really bad when I went to college. I was making lists constantly and hoarding those lists, and I was tapping light switches to prevent fires and all sorts of fun in quotes, OCD rituals. And I started ERP. I'm very fortunate that that was the first treatment I did. I didn't have to go through years of trying to find the right one. And I'm doing really well now in terms of OCD, which is nice. And I blogged through all of it, which was, it's so cool to look back and see where I was and how far I've come. Even if I'm having like a bad day, I can see that I've come so far.
That's brilliant. And that's such a good point as well about recording progress somewhere and somehow, even if it's journaling or a blog, because as you said, sometimes with any mental health, you look back and you can, your brain can instantly say, I've made no progress, I've gone nowhere, but then you've clearly can see your progress.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you.
And Molly, what about you?
Yeah, so I've had OCD symptoms since I was about 4, but I wasn't diagnosed until I was about 10. And I went to therapy, but it wasn't ERP. So it helped a little bit, but not as much as it could have.
Yeah.
And I recently, a month ago, started ERP with an OCD specialist.
Brilliant. And how are you finding that so far?
It's good so far.
Yeah.
It's slow, but I'm getting there.
Good. No, I'm glad to hear it. So what kind of got you to finally seeing a OCD specialist?
I guess at OCDCon, I learned that ERP is really the way to go. And I had to deal with insurance too. And I figured all that out. And I just like agreed to that it was time to do it. And I was like ready to do all the exposures and be challenged.
Good. Glad to hear it. And how did you two meet? Was it at an OCD con or was it somewhere else?
So we met through Twitter. She, after I had tweeted out about Not Alone Notes at the beginning, she just messaged me and said she was an artist and wanted to help out. We've met in person only once at OCDCon, oh, wow. But we talk every day.
We live halfway across the country from each other.
Yeah, but we've become really close.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And my wife asked just now if you two were twins. So,
well, sometimes we intentionally wear the same thing. But sometimes today was an accident.
Yeah, we're both wearing gray, but we didn't plan that.
But, okay, cool. So just a couple more questions then around your guys' story. So for both of you, was there like a roadblock that kind of hindered you in your recovery? What was it and how did you overcome it?
I think for me, it was trying to catch up with the OCD. So mine was just constantly changing, or I would work on one and then another one would get stronger, and it just felt like I was constantly like playing whack-a-mole, like I just couldn't keep up. And what ended up being helpful for me was taking time off from school to focus on treatment, which was a very hard decision and isn't right for everyone, but so much of my OCD revolved around school and made it impossible to function and study and read. So taking that time off from school to really catch up, and then I could go back to school and continue working on it, was really helpful.
Yeah, excellent. And how are you doing now? Are you still at university?
I finished my bachelor's degree.
Cool.
Which it took longer than most people, but you know what? I finished, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
And I'm working right now, and I plan on going to grad school sometime in the future.
Brilliant. Well, good work.
Thank you.
And what about you, Molly?
So I guess I'd say a roadblock, or just something that maybe shouldn't have happened. but with the help with like my psychiatrist, I decreased my medicine while at college. Mm. And college is a stressful time. So freshman year, I think that I was like so overwhelmed that my OCD kind of almost took a back burner. It was just so much anxiety at once that I didn't realize what was OCD, what was anxiety. And it seemed to be getting better, actually, or I thought that in my head. And so I decreased the medicine sophomore year. And then that kind of was just not a good idea. And I would have like panic attacks during class. And so then I had to like just get back on track. And I think that's like a big roadblock that happened. But after that little bump, I kept on going.
Yeah. No, thanks for sharing. It's a good learning, isn't it? Yeah. Tough situation, but yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. So kind of flip side of that question then is, was like, I'm sure there might have been a few, but was there kind of a light bulb moment or epiphany moment that you just suddenly learned something about OCD or the way it worked or the way out of it or anything like that?
For me, it was actually seeing the documentary Extreme OCD Camp. That was just...
Great documentary.
To see... and I actually got to go to the camp and meet P and Travis, which, like,
yeah.
I don't talk about much. I should talk about it more. So just getting to see, like, people do exposures is the reason I knew to find someone who did ERP. And seeing that so early on and seeing people I could relate with and they were facing their fears and they were so scared, but they were doing it. It just was so motivating. And then to get to actually go to the camp, which I know you've put on the camp. And so, you know, them as well.
Yeah. Pete, I don't know Travis, but Pete came over last year to help me set it up in this country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible guy.
Yeah. It was a really cool experience to do like the high ropes course. Yeah. And that was like right when I had started ERP. I don't even know why. I was just like, I'm going to go do this. This documentary has changed my life. And they accepted me. And it was such a good way to start my treatment.
Yeah. Brilliant.
So I have, since diagnosis, it's been like 15 years. And last year was the first year that I went to OCDCon. And it was the first time that I had met people with OCD. Or open about their OCD.
Yeah.
That was definitely like a moment of like, wow, there's a whole entire community. We're all in this together. We all can relate to each other, because I feel like it was just a convention where everyone had the same brain and like we knew what each other was thinking in like a good way, not in a creepy way. So it was like really comforting and it was just like empowering.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, you don't feel you have to justify anything or explain mm-hmm. anything.
Yeah.
You kind of feel understood. Cool. Well, thank you guys for going into your stories there. I appreciate it. So, Not Alone Notes, explain the concept to me and everyone.
So the concept is, say you are just diagnosed with OCD or you've been diagnosed but you've never met anyone, or you know someone but you're just feeling lonely that day. Mm. You get on our website, you request a note, and in a few weeks we will mail you a letter that is encouraging and positive and validating and basically to say you're not alone. And it's handwritten because, you know, we could send an email in about 5 seconds, but I just love snail mail. I am passionate about snail mail. I'm passionate about a lot of things, including snail mail. I just love the idea of it arrives, you don't know quite when it's going to arrive, and then you have this physical item that you can hold and read forever. So that's the concept.
And then also I hand make all the cards, unless artwork is donated.
Yeah,
like from your wife. Yeah. And so each person's getting an individual piece of art as well as their card. And we ask them on the Google form when they fill it out what color they like. So we make it personalized to them, the color of the card, the pen color inside the card. And we like decorate the cards and mm-hmm. it's fun.
We've gone it's wild with stickers lately.
And washi tape.
Yeah.
What was,
and stamps.
What's washi tape?
It's like a colorful tape that
my wife's showing me some like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also just got scratch and sniff stamps. That's pretty exciting.
Really exciting. Like holographic stamps too. Oh, yeah. They're so cool.
I'm becoming a stamp collector because they're just so cool.
I know. I don't want to give them up. I just want to collect them all.
No, that's brilliant. I'm sure I love the fact that it's personalized, which mm-hmm. makes it more special. And I agree. There's something about, like, obviously I'm a big fan of, well, I'm not a big fan of email. I find email quite annoying, but I like the ease of email and the fact that you can ping something off. But there is something very special about getting a handwritten letter from someone. Mm-hmm. That is sadly lost. So I'm
it's
glad.
It's also like spontaneous. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, go on. Go for it.
It's also like spontaneous. Like it can just show up and you don't realize it's coming. Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned the other day to us that they forgot that they requested one. And it randomly, like they got this random note addressed to them from someone they didn't know. And they were a little bit suspicious at first. But then once they figured it out, they're like, I didn't actually know it was going to come, but it came.
No, that's amazing. And I bet that's probably a lot of people feel that, oh, I'm going to submit this request, but it will never come.
Yeah.
I'm sure I would think that too as well. But then obviously it comes because you guys are trustworthy.
As long as your address is good. We've had to do some Sherlocking where we'll get like a misspelled street name in no city. But we do our best.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so there's some, anyone who wants one, make sure you put in your address properly.
Yes.
Triple check it, but not compulsively.
Right.
Cool, so, I mean, you mentioned kind of roughly why you set it up. Was it just to make people feel less alone and more connected and give a bit of hope?
Yeah, I guess. So I also have been to OCDCon several times, and I know so many people with OCD, and I just... it makes such a difference to know there's someone out there, even if you don't know them in person, to know there's someone out there like you. Mm. And I was writing letters back and forth with them just as pen pals. And I had always wanted to sort of find a way of connecting with other people with OCD. And I figured, well, I should just put something on my blog and write people letters. And it has fortunately grown since.
Nice. Yeah, I love the website as well. I think you did a good job there. So how many have you guys sent in total now?
So far we have about 550 requests. We both write the cards. Hmm. So We use like a Google Doc and we organize everything.
We just mailed our 500th about a week ago, so that was really exciting. Oh. We had a brownie baking celebration.
Nice. Yeah, it's important to celebrate, and it's great to see you celebrating because so many people don't celebrate their achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Now, well, good work on sending all of those. How long do you think before you'll hit that 1,000 mark? Have you predicted the date?
I mean, we're getting pretty close to 600.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been 2 years. So I don't know, maybe around the 2 year mark. We'll see.
Oh yeah, good luck with it. And have you had some interesting responses from people when they've received them?
Yeah. I love personally the pictures people take with their notes. So we've gotten especially some kids who will be like reading their note and they look so excited. It just warms your heart and makes it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're writing the note, it can get a little tedious. But when you see the actual picture of a real person receiving it, it makes it so worth it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I like seeing those when you share them on Instagram too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we kind of loosely talked about, 1,000 there. And that's my own kind of interest in numbers. But what does the future hold for you guys? Is it keep doing what you're doing, or can you see it transitioning at all or expanding in any way?
Because I was going to say what you said before about like you wanted to make it into a book. Can you explain that?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So basically my mom had this wild idea of like making a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Since Molly draws and I write. So a dream, which we sort of started, is to make a graphic novel about OCD, where Molly will draw and I'll either write the text or essays, and just to make people feel and know they're not alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that idea. Yeah, I think that would be great. It kind of reminds me of Humans of New York. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, with the picture and then the description mm-hmm. of the story and similar with the cards that you guys do. And, you know, the project as it is perfect and it doesn't need to change or grow or devolve.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm always interested to hear people's kind of ideas for things and how they develop. Okay, so you kind of mentioned it, but is there a criteria for who can get a note?
So basically, if you've been diagnosed with OCD or if you don't have to like prove your diagnosis, but as long as you have what the IOCDF calls real OCD. So it's not just, oh, I like to organize and I enjoy cleaning, but as long as, you know, it's a clinical real OCD, or also body focused repetitive behaviors. We expanded recently to if you have that or you have both, we'll write for that too.
So as you mentioned earlier, my wife sent some drawings for the cards for you guys. Is this something you'd happy to accept more of from other artists?
Definitely.
Yeah. Cool. And what are some of the other ways people can get involved and support you guys in the work you're doing?
So we do have t-shirt sales every once in a while. It'll like, if you buy one, it'll like trigger 2 weeks of t-shirts. And that helps fund it. We accept donations, but we don't expect them. It's always nice though to like buy stamps and cards. Yeah, you can always just mail us a letter too. We love receiving mail.
Nice.
We have a PO box now.
Yeah, that's on your website, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right, brilliant. So yeah, anyone wants a t-shirt, send some cash or send a note is more than welcomed.
Well, we have a PayPal too, if you don't want to just like mail us cash.
Oh yeah, I meant PayPal. Yeah, it's not entirely safe mailing cash.
No.
Okay, cool. So, you know, your project's a brilliant piece of advocacy, in my opinion, for OCD and mental health generally. So you guys have blogged and stuff and been on Twitter. So what words do you have for hopeful advocates on how to get involved with advocacy?
I would say just start wherever you're comfortable. So I used to write my blog under a fake name because I didn't want people to find it. Now, obviously, if you Google me, it comes up pretty fast. But I think as long as you have that outlet that makes you feel comfortable, whether that's having a conversation with a friend about your OCD or telling the world, it all matters.
Yeah.
I agree. And then also there's resources online that you can, there's support groups online that you can join, reaching out to other people through social media that might live in another country, makes you feel less alone and will help you connect with other people.
Absolutely. Good words. So something you put on your Instagram, the other day that I really liked is, I'm going to read it in its entirety. It was kind of a comic book strip, but which is, what is the worst type of OCD? And that was the question. Then it was, there is no worst type of OCD. Suffering is suffering. All pain is valid and deserving of empathy and or treatment. Why write this?
So this actually came from my blog. Molly randomly texted me one day. Well, we do this. We call it a podcast because she likes to talk on the phone and I like to text. So she'll send me voice memos.
Nice.
So she sent me a podcast saying like, oh my gosh, I have this idea. I want to make a comic, kind of like a graphic novel idea. And she's like, what should I write? And I was like, oh, just steal something from my blog. And she sent me this and it is amazing.
Like,
yeah, it does look great.
It's so adorable.
I definitely want to make more of them. It was like my first time trying it because I drew it on paper and then I put it onto the computer and then I drew it on the computer. So I wasn't really sure how it was going to turn out, especially the text. But I'm excited that, and we got like people were commenting on it saying that they relate to it and wanted to share and this is what they were talking about today. And so that was exciting to hear the positive feedback.
Yeah. Yeah, good
and
work.
And it's also,
sorry, go.
It's also something that I like, think about, like out of all Morgan's blog posts, I actually found it very quickly, but I was looking for something that I could make into a graphic and also that like resonated with me. And I do think about all the different kinds of OCDs and sometimes it's easy to get caught into a loop of like, oh, if I only had this type or that person suffers with that and it's so much easier than mine. But to that person, it's really the worst.
Yeah.
And everyone, no matter what it is still feeling the pain, feeling the suffering, just like the OCD that type that you might have.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that's why I liked it, because I think it's a human thing to compare suffering, whether looking at it as someone has it worse than you or you have it worse than them. It just kind of belittles your own suffering. And as it says, if you're suffering, you're suffering. And that deserves treatment and empathy. So I don't think I've seen it written that clearly, and it was great to see it in the kind of style it was delivered in.
Thanks.
No worries. So from both of you now, kind of just general words of hope for those living with OCD.
Oh gosh, that's a big question. I think when you're so in it, it can feel like, I was playing whack-a-mole, where it's just like I can't catch up, and I'm running like this Red Queen's race where you have to keep running really fast just to stay in the same place. I love Alice in Wonderland. but eventually you do catch up. And even if the progress feels slow, you're still making progress.
Yeah, good point.
That was a good answer. How am I going to lead up to that? I'm going to follow up on this. I think I'll have to go back to my answer for the other question where I was just, with OCDCon, you may not be able to go to OCDCon, but you can still find people who have OCD online and being able to connect with others and even FaceTiming, video chatting with other people. It's like they're in person, but you can talk about things rather than just over texting. Yeah. It's nice to be able to communicate with other people face to face.
Yeah, love it.
Understand your brain.
Yeah, exactly. Good words, guys. Okay, so a couple of questions now, which is one is, if you could pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell them?
Huh.
Well, you can change it to 18 if you want.
They were both idea.
Yeah.
I would say school isn't everything, because my identity used to be so tied up to school and being productive and grades and perfect grades. But I have learned that other ways of spending my time are valuable and worthwhile too.
I think I would say start ERP sooner. See an OCD specialist, even if that means taking a break from college.
Nice. Good words, guys. So the billboard question, you may be familiar with it. You've each got a billboard wherever you live. What do you want written on that billboard for everyone to see?
I'm going to change my answer. I actually don't remember what I said before. But I would write, "You are not alone." Because even if it's OCD or anything, there's always someone out there who can relate to what you're going through. You just have to find them.
Yeah. Boy.
Oh, man.
Sorry, I stole the obvious this one.
I was going to say OCD is not an adjective, but I also feel like I like "you're not alone" because everyone can identify with that no matter what they're going through. It doesn't even have to be mental illness.
Yeah. Yeah, really good point. Yeah, and again, that goes back to the suffering thing. Everyone suffers from time to time.
Yep.
And can feel alone from time to time. So, yeah. Cool. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you wish you could have shared today?
Well, you can follow us on Instagram at Not Alone Notes.
Yep.
And on Facebook. I don't know. You're pretty thorough.
Thank you. Well, guys, it was a real pleasure to have you on and talk about
thank you.
And share your great initiative. It's really inspiring.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So there you have it. Really hope you enjoyed my chat with Morgan and Molly. And don't forget, you can check them out at Not Alone Notes. I'll put the link in the show notes, and also you can just find them on Google. And yeah, thank you for listening. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. And until we speak, take care.